July 1940. The Germans now occupy all of the Channel Islands, including Armorel, my home. Sitting in my ATS billet, I heard German radio, in a triumphant broadcast to England, tell their version of that invasion.
1st of July, Monday. Good evening, England. Here is a special announcement. The Channel Islands have been occupied. On 30th of June, Guernsey was occupied by units of the German Air Force. One German reconnaissance aircraft shot down two British warplanes. For the first time in history, German soldiers have landed on British soil. They met with no resistance.
Among those now under German rule on Armorel were my cousin Lionel, a painter and a pacifist. And, of course, Venus. Perhaps I should explain. I am Nicola Falaise, sister of the suzerain of Armorel, the feudal ruler of our tiny island home. And Venus?
Venus de la Baie is a pedigree Guernsey cow, currently in calf. She and her babe-to-be are very valuable, and it was decided that the Germans must not be allowed to keep her. And so I was given the job of organizing her rescue.
We present Appointment with Venus by Gerard Tickell. Dramatized for radio in four parts by Michael Bartlett. With Karen Archer and David Collins as Nicola and Lionel, Michael Cochran as Valentine, and Frederick Yeager as Captain Weiss. Part 3, Coming Home.
I am Major Valentine Morland, and my companions in this bovine kidnapping were Alexander Forbes from the Gordon Highlanders and Trawler Langley, native of Armorel and seaman extraordinary. There was also Nicola Falaise, who persuaded me, against my better judgment, that her presence was essential. Though I think she had a moment's doubt when she first saw the submarine that was to transport us to her home.
Is that it?
Yes.
It looks awfully small.
Submarines always do, Miss Nicola. Curiously enough, you'll find it's better inside.
Yeah, a matter of opinion.
The captain was a young, bearded lieutenant who was quite clearly very envious of Trawler's luxuriant whiskers.
We'll be shoving off almost at once. We'll stay on the surface for as long as we can because there are some complicated minefields about and navigation underwater through minefields is rather a bore.
Not that much fun on the surface either.
No. Well, you should find it quite comfortable down here, if a little stuffy after a bit.
Oh, that's all right, Captain. We'll manage.
Good. Now, we hope to put you ashore at a place called,
Le Petit Pigeon.
Yes. After that, we'll submerge again and push off to a point 35 cables west of the point and lie doggo for exactly 30 minutes. Then we'll surface, pick up the gentleman in the beautiful beard, and beat it for England. All clear?
Very clear.
There are biscuits and cocoa in the galley and drinks in the locker. I was unaware until this moment that one of my passengers was to be a woman. All I can say is that I take up my hat to you, madam. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Well, well, what do you know? A bottle of gin here looking for a home.
Well, save that up for the return trip, Trawler.
It's good for seasickness, Skipper.
Put it back.
I had wondered if I'd be nervous when the submarine dived, but when the time came, I barely noticed it. Valentine had kept us all busy studying the map of Armorel.
Well, Alec, do you think you can find your way around the island now?
Provided the map's accurate, yes.
Good. Now, Langley, you know your timings?
I do.
What are they?
You, Miss Nicola, Forbes, and the cow will be at the Point de Joie at high water, which is 22:16 GMT, waiting to be taken off. For God's sake, don't be late. The tide goes out there like a dose of salts, and there'll only be enough water for half an hour at the most.
We won't be late.
It sounds as if we're surfacing, Mr. Valentine.
Indeed it does. Right. This is it.
As I climbed the ladder of the conning tower and out onto the bridge, I was conscious only of the silence. and then, as my eyes became accustomed to the darkness, I knew that I was gazing on the cliffs of my home.
See you tomorrow night, and don't be late.
Thanks, Trawler. Good luck.
I can't quite believe it.
Well, we're really committed now.
What's the next move?
You guide us up the cliff and inland. But there may be a sentry on the cliff top, so don't make a sound as we go up, all right?
I won't. If there is a sentry there, what happens?
I'll cope with him, Miss Nicola. Don't worry.
The path up the cliff was steep and stony. Try as we might, the occasional noise was unavoidable.
Wait! Okay.
It was only a few moments before we reached the top of the cliff, where the path flattened out into a track around a field of stubble. This was the first high point of danger.
All clear.
Luck's still with us. Now we take this track and cross the Sevriers' farm.
She was difficult to follow in the gloom, for she moved as silently as a ghost over her familiar territory.
As we crossed the puddled farmyard, I glanced up at the windows. For a moment, I thought I saw a splinter of candlelight as a curtain was slipped to one side.
Past the farm into a field. There was something ominous in the silence, but we followed Nicola as she climbed a stone wall and moved into a patch of gorse.
See over there? That's the abbey.
I see. And to the left is what might be called the Temple of Venus?
The stables, yes.
And we have to cross a road to get there?
Yes, and go past the abbey gates. There's no other way in.
Then there's only one way to do it. Now then, you come between us, Nicola. Alec, you'll have to shorten that long stride of yours. Ready?
All ready.
Good. Then by the left, quick march.
As if led by the massed pipes and drums of the Gordons, we wheeled onto the road and marched abreast, straight towards the abbey. We passed a shuttered cottage, swung around a bend, and the old walls of the abbey loomed up in the moonlight. 60 yards to go. 40. 30. 20.
Halt! Wer da?
Gute Nacht und Heil Hitler!
Heil Hitler!
And then we were past. We turned the corner and approached the stables. I pushed the latch and the half door swung open. A quick fumble inside for the bolt and...
Drop a drop of oil on that, Mr. Valentine.
Well, here we are.
Good.
Honestly, Valentine, when you said Heil Hitler, my knees turned to water.
Come on, let's get inside.
Give me your torch.
Here.
Oh, look.
Thank God the bloody animal's here.
Dawn on Armorel brought a harsh reminder of the danger all around us. The sound of the bugle woke Nicola, and she sat up, covered in straw.
Oh, we really are here.
Yes, we are. Morning, Nicola.
Oh, it's Dummy.
Dummy? Puss?
He remembers me.
It's nearly time, Mr. Valentine.
What are you going to do, Alec?
Transmit to London. We fixed the aerial while you were asleep.
Okay, then. Ready, Alec?
Okay, Mr. Valentine.
For Uncle George from Valentine's stop. I've contacted Venus, who is in the ascendant.
Wait. There's someone coming. It's all right. It's Baptiste. I've known him all my life. It's quite safe. You can carry on.
Bonjour, Baptiste.
Qui est là? C'est vous. C'est Mademoiselle Nicola.
Baptiste, c'est moi.
Don't go down, Nicola. Stay in the hayloft.
All right.
Now send this, Alec. Please continue to stand by. Local information coming up immediately. Nicola, quick, lie down.
Good morning, Baptiste.
Good morning, Monsieur le Commandant.
And how is my darling Venus this morning? She looks very well, Baptiste. And I think she will bear her calf very soon, perhaps. Today or tomorrow. Sure, this week.
Maybe, monsieur.
And I'm sure it will be a bull. What is the matter with you, man? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
I have seen nothing, monsieur, nothing.
Too much brandy last night, eh? You will not take Venus out until the dew is off the grass, and then you will peg her down in the top pasture.
Monsieur.
She is always a joy for me to see. Soon you will be eating the richer grass of Westphalen, you and your noble son.
Ow, my neck.
There, dog.
Monsieur.
Who is there? You are the culprit, eh, puss? Naughty, naughty. Auf Wiedersehen, Venus, mein Liebchen.
Nicola, go down and put Baptiste in the picture.
Righto.
Alec, quick, let's finish the transmission.
Ready.
Regret unavoidable interruptions. Stop. Have overheard Commandant's plan to inveigle Prima Donna to Reich. Stop. Will do all possible to frustrate. Stop. Please contribute £5 to local cat's home. Stop. Ends.
I've told Baptiste. He'll be fine.
I've got the message received signal, Mr. Valentine.
Good. Okay, Ali, get the radio packed up. Now then, this is the form. Nicola, you make your way to the province through the gardens and the orchard. Now, how long do you think you'll be with him?
Oh, half an hour, three quarters. It depends. I've got a lot to find out.
Call it an hour. Alec and I will leave here separately and make different circuits, ending up at this point here, see?
The copse, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now then, you'll meet us there in 60 minutes exactly, with as much information as you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you tell us, we'll decide on how to organize the rest of the job. All clear?
All clear. And don't eat all the sandwiches. Au revoir, chers amis. I had expected my presence on Armorel to cause a few surprises, but even so, I was amazed at the reaction my appearance provoked at the home of the Provence.
Come, come. Jacques? Jacques!
What is it, Marie?
Come quickly.
What is it? Are you ill?
Oh, mon Dieu, I am not ill, but ashamed. You are dirty. You have not shaved. Where's your collar? Where's your tie?
What has happened?
What has happened? I will tell you what has happened. You are the provost of Armorel, and it is thus you wish to greet the sister of Susanne.
What do you mean, woman?
I mean that Miss Nicola has come back to us.
Miss Nicola?
She is in our house. Oh. Almighty God has sent Miss Nicola back to us.
The sun was warm, but in the copse it was cool. In fact, the ground was still damp.
Alec, give me your field glasses.
There you are.
As I focused on the stables we had recently left, I saw Baptiste lead Venus out into the sun and tether her. She began contentedly to munch the grass of Armorel, indifferent to the fact that where she stood was in full view of the windows of the Abbaye.
Hello?
You're late. You're 7 minutes late.
Sorry. Not my fault. The provost's wife made him change and put on his Sunday suit before he met me.
Mm.
You don't know what it's like to come home to people like these.
Well, that's as may be.
You may count on the island, absolutely. Man, woman and child. We have 300 allies on our side.
I was as worried as hell. Weren't we, Ali?
You were, Mr. Valentine.
I am, sorry. Now, may I tell you what I found out?
Please do.
I'll need the map. Now, there's there's a German sentry on the Pointe de Joie from dusk to dawn, and also other sentries here and here and here.
Well, lucky there wasn't one where we came in last night.
They're connected to the German headquarters at the Abbaye by Field's telephone. Minefields are being laid here and here. Now, so far so good, but there are a number of complications.
Inevitably. What are they?
Well, the first one is the Commandant, Hans Weiss. He's the one we saw this morning, and as we already know, he loves Venus dearly.
Yes.
Number two, the island is crawling with special troops on some kind of exercise. There doesn't seem to be much love lost between them and the regular garrison. That may or may not be useful to us.
Is there a number three?
Well, the worst of the lot, I'm afraid. There's a German gunboat called the Lübeck lying in the Havre des Mouettes. She's fast and armed to the teeth.
Oh, that's not too good.
Well, it's very bad, isn't it?
That was an understatement. I knew Uncle George well. A hard and ruthless man, he would not risk the sacrifice of our MTB to save three lives. I would have to tell him about the Lübeck, but I wished that Alec and I had come alone.
Well, there's nothing we can do about it, so we'll just have to carry on as planned, won't we?
Yes. Alec, you make your way over the route we intend to take tonight and cut the telephone wire from the Pointe de Joie to the Abbaye.
Right.
I'll head for the Baie de Londine and prepare tonight's firework display. Nicola, How are we going to get Venus away from the top, my dear?
Well, the Provost and I worked out an idea. You know the man I told you about, my cousin Lionel?
Well, the long-haired pacifist painter?
Yes, the pacifist painter. His hair isn't particularly long. Well, listen.
10 minutes later, I watched her walk down the hill towards the road. She reached the valley, crossed it, and began to climb the other side. She looked very small and solitary.
Familiar roads, familiar fields, and yet they echoed to the feet of strangers. Soldiers. German soldiers marching up the road from the sea, stamping their boots, guns on their shoulders. I couldn't avoid them, so I waved at them instead. Valentine's example of the night before bearing fruit. A moment of fear, and then they were past, and I continued towards Lionel's cottage.
Oh, my God. Nicola. I don't believe it.
You told me to come back soon from my bloody war. Well, I've come.
Picking blackberries on the path down to the Baie de Londine, hardly the image of war. I set the pencil timers so they would explode at 4-minute intervals and then buried the explosive charges in the sand above high water mark. As I straightened up...
Hands up!
A sight to make even Uncle George laugh. A boy, perhaps 10 years old, sitting holding a toy pistol pointing at my heart. And in my hand, a fully loaded Colt automatic.
Hands up!
Yes, of course.
I saw you come last night. You and Miss Nicola and your friend. I live in the house of my Uncle Pierre. The Provost is my grandfather.
We should have been more careful. What is your name?
Why should I tell you? What is your name?
Why should I tell you?
Because it is I who have the pistol. That is why.
I'd overlooked that. My name is Valentine.
Mine is George.
Now we know each other.
Yes. Your friend is near the Point de Joie. He is clever and in a good place where the Germans won't see him. He is more cleverer than you, Monsieur Valentine. You are in a very bad place.
Huh? Why am I in a very bad place?
Because from here there is only one path. There is no escape for you when the Germans come.
But why should the Germans come?
Because they come here every day at this time when the weather is good to swim in the sea. Today, the weather is good.
My God.
It is a bad thing to say my God. If I say my God, my grandfather beats
me. Your grandfather is quite right, and I should like to meet him. I think it's high time I got out of here.
So do I. But you're too late. Listen, the Germans are coming.
So they are.
Quickly, Monsieur Valentine. There's only one thing to do. You must swim with the Germans. I will take your clothes, and I'll meet you round the headland.
I tore off my clothes, wrapped the Colt and haversack in their folds, thrust them at George, and flung myself into the sea as the boy skipped away, impishly waving to the first German as he came round the bend. It was a long swim. Clearly, I wasn't as fit as I thought I was. Every muscle in my body ached, and when I landed, I had to sit on the sand for some minutes, breathing deeply.
You swim very well, Monsieur Valentine.
Well, I'm glad you think so, George. Now, may I have my clothes, please?
Certainly. Catch!
Now, you won't tell a living soul that you've seen Miss Nicola, or my friend, or me, will you, George?
Do you think I am imbecile, Monsieur Valentine?
No, I don't. I think you're a very brave boy. But after I've gone, the Germans may find out what you've done to help me, and then there will be a lot of trouble for you. George, would you like to come to England with me?
Oh, yes, monsieur. Please take me to England with you. Please.
Now, listen to me very carefully, George. If you really want to come to England, be at the Pointe de Joie at exactly 10:15 tonight. Now, if anything happens and we don't go, you can return home and no harm done.
I understand.
Now, I must go. Time's getting on.
It seemed only yesterday that Lionel and I had climbed the church tower together. And yet it was more than a year since I had stood here, in this kitchen, saying goodbye.
You are a dream. I knew it.
No, I've come from England, in a submarine.
Nicola, are you mad? The Germans are here.
I know. That's why we had to come by submarine and land at night.
We? Nicola, tell me what the hell is going on.
We've come to collect Venus, Luke's pedigree Guernsey. Well, as you know, she's in calf, and Whitehall don't want that calf to fall into German hands.
You've come here for a cow?
Yes. Well, the trouble is that the Commandant is so attached to Venus that he won't let her out of his sight. Well, that's where you come in, Lionel.
What do you mean?
We want your help.
I don't begin to understand. And I warn you that I will do violence to no man. Not even for you, Nicky.
No one is going to ask you to do violence. I want... Oh, look, who's that out there?
Who? Oh, well, it's only Jean Laputé.
Come out of sight of the window.
What?
The fewer people know I'm here, the better.
Yeah. All right?
Yes, thank you. Now, Lionel, I want you to paint a cow to look like Venus.
What?
Please don't think I'm mad. The provost and I worked this out together. There's only one way we can get Venus away from the top pasture, and that's by substituting an inferior cow painted to resemble her markings.
Nicola. Are you glad to be home?
Very. No matter what happens, I'm glad to be home.
And I'm very glad to see you. Now, what will I need? Of course, her surface isn't like canvas. It's all hairy. The thing I really need is some poster paint, or better still, distemper.
Then you'll do it.
Mademoiselle, I accept your commission. Now, the first thing for me to do is to make a sketch of Venus's markings. Now, where is she now?
In front of the abbey in the top pasture. While you're making your notes, I'll go and borrow one of old Mrs. Guillaume's more pregnant cows and bring her here. Oh, Lionel, isn't this fun? It's like when we were children.
Yes, but the penalty for being found out would be heavier. We'd get more than a beating. Be very careful, Nicola.
I will, darling Lionel. Do you know, I've never called a man darling before, not even you. And we've known each other for so long.
We've known each other for always. Do you remember what was on the church bell?
Venez monter à la maison éternelle.
Ours is the eternal house, Nicola.
It should have worked. It really should have worked, fanciful scheme though it was. But I suppose nothing ever goes quite according to plan. And in this case, the problems began with Jean Labouté.
Good morning, gentlemen. How many of you are there? Scallow, Scalbosch. How many? Answer me, Scallow.
Jean had promised the provost not to touch another drink until the war was over and the suzerain and his sister returned to Armorel. A difficult promise for him to keep. But he fought temptation honourably, even when the German soldiers tried to make him drink with them.
Never care what you say, you drunken fool.
Me? Why should I ever care for Sallow? You're going to drink with me, yes?
But then, that morning, passing Lionel's cottage, he had seen me through the window. Poor Jean. For him, there was only one reason why I should be on Armorel. The war was over, and Armorel was free.
Charles, my friend, I command you, brandy for me and lemonade for them. I command these Scalbosch to drink with me to victory and to the return of Miss Nicola Falaise, the sister of the suzerain of Armorel.
I knew nothing of this at the time. The provost and I had indulged in a quiet bit of cattle rustling and had borrowed Hyacinth, a pregnant cow who bore some resemblance to Venus. It was just after we parted that the provost met Françoise from the Estaminet des Anges, and she told him what was happening.
Thank you, Françoise. Now, go back to Les Anges. Tell your husband to wait in the yard until I bring Jean to him. Then he must strike so that Jean's mouth is shut. You understand, Françoise? He must strike hard.
The sun was still shining, but I do not think the provost would have seen it, as he walked slowly and deliberately to betray his friend.
Ah, my friend, c'est toi, c'est Jacques le Cheminot, huh?
No,
It is not Jacques Le Chemineau. It is the provost of Amarel. I repeat, it is the provost of Amarel. Jean, I order you to come with me.
The authority of his voice impressed the soldiers, and no one tried to stop them as the provost left the cafe with Jean stumbling behind him.
Jean. Oui, mon ami. What is it that you want?
Au revoir, my friend. No, Charles!
While the provost was putting duty before friendship, I was standing in Lionel's backyard, feeding parsnips to Hyacinth, while Lionel covered her left side with a wash of white paint.
Well, Nicola, what do you think of that?
I think Picasso will have to look to his laurels.
I do find the whole thing rather surreal. When you get Venus away, where are you going to hide her until darkness?
I don't know. I hadn't thought.
Well, then you'd better bring her here. We'll keep her in my living room. Once this thing starts, we won't have much time.
Time was running out for all of us on Amarel. But first, Uncle George had to be told about the German gunboat. I thought I could guess his reaction to that news. But it was only later, much later, that I learned the truth.
The 1300-hour signal from Major Valentine is in, Uncle George.
Thank you, Doris. Must reluctantly report presence in harbor of fast, heavily armed gunboat Lübeck. Stop. Will recontact 1500 hours GMT for instructions and or valedictory blessings. Ends. You've read this, I presume, Doris?
Yes, Uncle George. Do you want me to get Portsmouth on the telephone?
What for?
To cancel the motor torpedo boat, of course.
No, don't do that. It'd spoil everything.
You knew all the time there was a gunboat in the harbour.
Yes. She's the latest thing in E-boats, and she's an Amarel for secret trials. The Lübeck's a prototype, and with a landlocked harbour like Havre de Muette, she's as safe as houses, so long as she stays there.
Ah, I see. So you have to entice her out?
Exactly.
May I ask you something?
Yes?
Why didn't you tell Valentine about the gunboat? It wouldn't have made any difference to him. He'd have gone just as willingly.
I know, but he would have found some means of leaving Nicola Falaise behind. And without her, they'll never get that wretched animal off the island.
So, you do want the cow as well?
Indeed I do. Cow and e-boat. And now it's all down to Valentine. Valedictory blessings, indeed. Who the hell does he think I am?
None of us knows, Uncle George.
None of us knows. That's the trouble with any operation. No matter how well you plan, you never know what the other person will actually do or what other events might put a spoke in your wheel. And in this case, Venus had her own ideas about her rescue operation. Ideas that will put us all in the gravest danger.
In Appointment with Venus by Gerard Tickell, dramatized for radio by Michael Bartlett, Karen Archer was Nicola Falaise, David Collins, Lionel, Michael Cochran, Major Valentine Morland, and Frederick Yeager, Captain Vice. Hugh Dixon was the provost, Jack May, Uncle George, Jeffrey Matthews, Trawler Langley, and Stephen Rashbrook, Alec Forbes. William Simons was Jean Labouté, Susan Sheridan, George, and Michael Deacon, Baptiste. Venus was played by Percy Edwards, and other parts were played by Diana Olsen, John Sampson, and Kim Wall. Technical direction was by Chris Lewis, assisted by Nick Herron and Dave Howe. The production assistant was Nikki Hildebrandt. This was a BBC World Service drama production, directed by David Hitchenson.